How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Welcome back. This is going to be a fun one. I hope you guys, we may even get up and do a few of these. I'll give you a chance to run out of here now. For those of you that were here before, I tried to get the temperature lowered a little bit in here, so I hopefully they did that, and I'm not sure. Oh, you did? Okay. Well, anyway, my name is Frank Catalano, for those of you who haven't met, and this is... Oh, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. This is Acting It Out, and it's improvisational techniques for writers. And I'll tell you a little bit about myself, but I want to ask some questions. How many of you have done acting or... Okay. All right. So what this is, I mean, I teach at USC School of Theater and a couple of other places, and we use improvisational techniques for actors, and sometimes we do it for writers. And the goal of this particular workshop is to try and see how we can use improvisational techniques to develop story and character. So although we might be using some performance techniques, I'm not looking for Academy Award winning performances. I'll get that. What was that? But we will want to be able to draw upon some of those things to help us put some ideas together. So first of all, we're going to learn how to put dramatic and or comedic ideas, creating a basic who, what, when, where, why, on its feet before you put it on the page. So quick question before I go on. Have any of you ever written that way? Where you get an idea and then you get a bunch of people and then they kind of take elements or all of... All right, so we're going to do that today.
With real people, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, real people. Yeah, and so there's two ways we could look at that, and I'm going to go over both of them before we leave here today. One is where you might have a specific concept in mind. You pick up the newspaper and you go, wow. And you literally take that concept and you get, you know, you play this person, you play this person, and you're sitting in an office or at a train station or an airplane or whatever. Go and see what that is. You know, you literally develop what we call in the theater end a scenario. And what's missing out of that scenario would be the specific setting, perhaps, or you might get that, and then you would provide, the characters would provide dialogue and things like that, and then you as a writer would kind of let them go with that. Now, I had a specific experience with that. I did a program one time. It was for a play, and it was a grant, and I got a grant to do a play, and I didn't do any of the work. Well, I confess. So I waited till the last minute, and they said, what do you have? You know, we're going to get ready to cast this play. And it was in September, and I said, I don't know. And I was sitting in a coffee shop, and I saw this couple behind me, and I said, Myths and Tangos. And she said, oh, that's a great idea. Let me write that down. So tell me what the storyline is about. And the guy reached over, and he kissed the girl's hand. I said, love. And she said, great. And so I agreed to do this play, and then I went out, we went on vacation, and I literally wrote this entire play in a couple of days. And of course it was very rough, and what I did is I was able to cast the play on that rough draft, and literally when the actors showed up for rehearsal, I'd say, okay, you're playing this, you're playing that. And I literally had a wonderful opportunity, and I never worked that way before, was the actors actually started becoming... the characters, and I really felt, in a way, like a painter. I was putting these images on a canvas, and then they started working and moving around, utilizing some of the ideas I had. And literally out of that, I didn't take their dialogue. So you could do that. I mean, you could literally record them and go home and, you know, put it in script form. But I took some of the ideas that were discovered, and then it enabled me to write those scenes again more formally and then introduce them, and then they worked them. So that was one way to do it. One more story, and then I'll finish what I was going to tell you in the beginning. I have a friend, and we were working from NYPD Blue, and I said, what did you do this weekend? You know, when you show up on the set, everybody's going, what did you do this weekend? He said, oh, I made a movie. You made a movie? How could you make a movie? Oh, yeah, we made a... I mean, you mean you went out and you shot a little scene? He says, no, we made a whole movie. And I said, how could you do that? And he says, well, we had like six cameras, and we literally started with a single idea, and I don't remember whether it was a word or a sentence or something. And then they went off, and they shot this thing in a chronological fashion. So it would be like, we starting with a word or a sentence, and we put you in a setting, and out of that thing, the cameras roll, unedited, you know, I'm not going to say we're not going to use it all, we use some of it, and then we go, cut. And then we move you to, and you become these people, and you start evolving, and the next thing, and they literally shot an entire movie, which then over the next subsequent weeks, they edited. It wasn't bad. It was. I looked at it and I said, "Oh, it actually had a story with characters, and they kind of evolved." So in that specific scenario, they started out with nothing, and literally utilizing the actors, they develop what we will call a who, what, when, where, and why, kind of a thing, and then they just went with it, and literally developed an entire script, and then the script came after the film, if you could imagine that. And it actually wasn't that bad. So we're going to look at that today. How do we develop something out of an idea, and how do we develop something out of nothing? The second thing I want to talk about today before we go is to discover what kind of improvisational techniques will help you create compelling storylines and vibrant characters and realistic dialogue. So what kinds of things can you do? Do you just go, here, make it up? There are certain like little frameworks and exercises you can actually do, which you guys could try on your own or, you know, in a public setting. So we'll take a look at that. And then we'll do some exercises here where I give you something or I give you nothing and trying to see what you guys come up with. Now, here's the other thing. And this is something, how many of you have ever improvised before? Okay, well, great. This is going to be a good group. Do you ever feel the pressure that you have to be funny? All right. We got to let that go right out the door. Because that's the hard part. I have a friend that was a producer, writer of Malcolm in the Middle. And before Malcolm in the Middle, he did, a whole bunch of other funny shows. And when you go to his house, he always invites his friends. Okay? And it's so stressful to try and talk to these people as well. What did you do last week? Well, I went to San Diego. Oh, San Diego. And they'd make a joke out of it. And then they'd make a joke back. And it would be this kind of high pressure, I can be funnier than you conversation. And the normal person, a person that's not really into that, is going to step away. And that's what I'm encouraging you not to do. Because when we start to improvise, a lot of actors go, oh, God, Bill is just funnier than a pistol. I can't think of what he thinks of. And what happens is the exact opposite occurs to what we want to happen. We want to get you going, and what happens is you shut down. So we're going to promise ourselves, look, if we're funny, and that's great, you're funny, that's, you know, great, we'll go for it. But that's not what we're achieving here. What we're trying to achieve is to get your juices flowing and to have the stories and the characters that are inside of you kind of come out. That sometimes we don't even know that we have in us. And after you do that exploration, you go, wow, I never thought of it that way. So we definitely want to talk about how to avoid what I will call the improvisation funny syndrome. And if you're funny, great. I mean, please, if you want to be funny, be funny. But you don't have to be funny. Now, why would we want to use improvisation for, let's say, an existing manuscript? Why not just do it? What do you think?
Fresh ideas.
Fresh ideas? Yes, sir. Yes. And what about any others? And that's good, yeah.
I think with improv, you don't have society's rules that you have to follow. You can be over the top. You can do anything you want. There's no consequences.
Yeah, and you know, like in that last workshop that we shared together, you know, the thing about the page 10. And, you know, so you go, all right, I got to do this thing, page 10. I got to do this. I got to do that. And you're writing with all this. And suddenly you do an improv, and it doesn't follow any of those rules, and it's good. And other times, you try it, and you go, oh, well, maybe that's not so good, and you try another way of doing it. So it helps us explore. But on a very rudimentary level, it helps us, and I've done it, it helps us listen to the dialogue of our characters. And last session we did, we talked about a slang for a character, or a voice. And so even if you have something written down on a page and you improvise off of it, sometimes it helps you take that character to a place that you perhaps would not have thought of in a good way. And by listening, you get an understanding of the character. And you say, wow, that really works. Or, you know what, that doesn't work. I'm listening to that. God, I didn't realize the character said those words so many times. You know, the same thing. Okay? Chemistry. It helps us listen and watch the characters interact. And you don't, that's something we're going to do today. You get two different people. You know, somebody said to me one time, well, what are you going to do? They said, I'm getting a cobra and a mongoose, and I'm going to put them in a room together. And I never knew what that meant until I understand what they meant. Get two opposites and put them in a space together and see what happens. And that's your idea. That's what you're going into. So we try to do that. Help writers discover the meaning in a scene by experiencing it on off the page. Now, as a writer, now I didn't ask this. How many of you have screenplays? Okay, we got a couple. And then how about novels? Most of you are probably novelists. Okay. So, have you ever been in a situation where somebody says to you, what's your book about? What's your screenplay about? And I don't mean like, you know, guy gets up in the morning, you know, they say, well, what are you trying, what's the meaning of what you're doing? What are you doing? And did you ever have an answer for that, or did you ever not know, or what do you think? Have you been both? What do you think? Both. Yeah. Sometimes I do things, or have been hired to do things, and I have absolutely no idea where I'm going to go with it. You know, somebody gives you an idea, and when a lot of times they'll say to you, you know, we've got to have this occur in this these amount of pages or something. So you start off with that end game in mind. You know, at the end of these 10 pages, they say somebody wrote these, you know, these pages, and they just need to be tightened up a little bit, and you have this kind of end game. And then you start working on it, and you don't know what it means. You almost are on a journey. And suddenly you find the character in a slightly different situation, and you've gone a different way, and then you've got to struggle to bring it back. So sometimes you have the answer. And improvisation is a way of illustrating that and showing it to you, where sometimes you could read something 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, and you don't get it. And suddenly you see it up on the stage, or you hear it, and you go, oh, wow, I never realized I did that. And that's wrong. I've got to change it. Or I like that. I'm going to do more of that. Sometimes things happen by accident that are good. It doesn't always have to always be bad. And it helps you with that. And here's the deal. Ultimately, you can experience the idea of your character or story off the page, so you're utilizing all of your senses. So some of us are visual people. Some of us are audio. Some of us are toucher feelers. Any Italian people in the house? Some of us are smellers, and so on and so forth. And so it helps you engage. It engages everything. Now, when we write, we do engage all of those things. Our characters do, through our imagination. But this here is delinking that, in a way, and it's really letting you look at the work from a totally different perspective. Probably the closest to the audience perspective that you can ever get when you write your books. You can't sit there, you can as the reader, but it's very difficult for you to be the guy at the library or the bookstore buying the book, sitting out reading your book. But seeing it in that way helps you experiencing it and helps you understand it more. So if the meaning of your script is clear to the audience, then it's clear, you know, clear to you, clear to the audience, and it really helps it through. So that's one reason to use improvisation. Now, I, as a writer, and I've written a lot of plays, I've done screenplays, I've done animation, one of the tools that I do, and it's probably because I have the roots in the theater, is I love to have a reading. I just always do, whether it's, you know, whatever it may be, and I'll either get a theater company to do it for me, or if it's a smaller piece, I'll do it in my living room or whatever, and I get a bunch of, and, you know, living in Los Angeles, there's plenty of actors to go around, and you get a group of people and you do it, and you just sit there and you have a glass of wine and you listen to it, and I don't even make notes. Very rarely. I mean, unless it really is horrible, and I'll just go, you know. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be there like this with the script. I just want to hang. And I just want to see, is this story interesting? Is it working? Is it boring? That's kind of, and I just kind of remember it in my mind. And then I go back and I change it. And then, of course, you get feedback from people after a reading. So improvisation in all those areas work. Have you ever experienced writer's block? We all have, right? Improvisation's great for that. And any you know, books, whatever you're doing, plays, letting somebody take it and improvise. Now, you always run the gamut here when you say, well, I'm going to put actors on the stage or in a space or in my living room or wherever, and they're going to act this out. How much of that becomes theirs then? And you have to explore that. But what I tried to do with mine is I don't take notes. I just let them kind of play and talk, and I look, and then I go away from that, and I see what I get from that, and that filters into my work. How can the use of improvisation assist in the development of a character or storyline if you have no script? Now, how many of you have been to the hairdresser, the barber, the real estate agent, the lawyer, who's, oh, you better do a script. Why don't you do a script about lawyers? Or why don't you do, you know, there's no story there. You know, why don't you do a script about hairdressers? And, yeah, the funny stuff that happens. Yeah? Well, you know. And then that's not a story. So you can utilize improvisation in that way. But hopefully, so you have nothing. Or somebody will say, one time somebody said to me, why don't you do a story about a diary? So I said, what about it? A diary. Somebody finds a diary. And there's a story in that. And I said, what's the story? I don't know. It's in the diary. And so we improvise off of that. We will today as well. And sometimes an idea is simply just that. When somebody says, do a story about this or do a story about that, and then you start to get into it and you're not getting any traction. And sometimes it's just an idea and it really doesn't have that with improvisation, with your creativity, with all of it. You just can't find it. And those are one of those things where you just kind of fold up and you kind of put them in the back burner, and maybe an idea will come from some other kind of thing which you can link with it and do it at a later date. So improvisation is a tool. It's not necessarily a thing that you have to worry about for performance. All right, you don't have to worry about being funny. You don't have to. And here's another thing which I think is important. And I, being a college professor, you see a lot of this. Somebody you'll say, we're going to start an improv. And Bill, you're going to go up, and what's your name?
Jennifer.
And I say, and Bill goes, what am I doing? I say, nothing, I'm just going to give you a word you start with. We're going to do one of these today. And Bill goes, cool, I'll do it. And okay, and I'll say, all right, somebody give me a word. And she'll say, apple, or something. Yeah, I mean, something like that. And so he goes, okay, and this is not you, I'm just making some fictitious person. And then this improv becomes this whole thing about an apple. He says, look at this apple. Well, this is funny about this apple. It's green. And it becomes this literal execution of the word apple. And what I want you to think about is not that. Use apple or whatever your word is, whatever your idea is, to springboard into what it could mean. So where does an apple come from? Oh, this is an apple. Where did it come from? Oh, from that tree down there. Oh, the tree by the old barn. Oh, really? Did you see what was in the old barn? No. What was it? Oh, it was a diary. I don't know. Hey, get the pen out. So you see what we did? We took apple and we took it on a journey. And I just made apple up. I didn't have this memorized or anything. And it becomes something else. And what I notice that young people in college and stuff, because of television a lot, have a tendency to be literal. And they go, well, we tried these improvs. And I wrote this book, and it's like about this apple. What is this? I can't do anything with this. It's just an apple. Well, no, it's not an apple. It's just a reason to start. So don't be literal. Get off of the app, so to speak. Get off of the apple? Is that grammatically correct? Yeah, just make it into something else. Use it as a starting point and let that, and I don't necessarily mean where you go, apple, banana, plum, tree, where you do this word association thing. No, just allow it to just grow, crawl out of the pond and be whatever it wants. Yes. Yes, we are. Well, you're going to do more today. Just a few. Nothing too crazy. It's a writer's workshop, so I don't want to scare anybody out of here. No, because, oh my God, I'm doing improv, so I'm gone. So don't be literal. And we'll do an exercise to that effect. And trust me, when we do the exercise, I won't ask you to be like a piece of bacon or anything like that, so don't worry about that. When we communicate ideas, and this applies to life, and this will help you in your characters, we don't only use words, we use physicality. So you can communicate in improvisation by just using your body language. So the script says, how are you? That's going to be your line. And mine is fine. You know, you say, how you doing? And I'm going to say fine. But I'm going to use physicality to communicate. I'm going to do this badly. I can just tell. All right.
How you doing?
Fine. All right, so it's something else. So you don't have to go, let's do it the other way.
How are you doing?
Fine. You know, fine, because it says fine, so I'm going to be fine. So we can use physicality and without even talking. So sometimes you can be in you'll see sometimes in an improvisation in some of your characters, let's say you're writing your novel about a painter. Write it about a painter, and they're painting, and I don't paint, as you could probably tell by now. But I'm mad at her because she was flirting with him. So I'm painting, and it's like, so I don't have any dialogue with her. She's just sitting there reading her book or doing whatever, and that's your scene. The camera goes up, or the curtain goes up, or the page opens up, whatever your medium is, and he's sitting there and he's painting, and he's taking the paint and he's throwing it on there, and it's all about this. There's another thing here. It's we're angry about because I'm jealous or whatever. And do we ever say the word jealous or angry? No. It's shown on the canvas by the way the paint hits the canvas or the way I pour the water or the way I clip the roses or whatever it may be. You can convey utilizing physicality in improv. And, well, not only in improv, in anything you do. And so use it as a tool. And television kills us. Because, you know, it's just the nature of the beast is we only have 44 minutes to write this hour, so get mad at them and do it quick, because we got to get on to the commercial. We don't have any time for that.
Frank, in writing
yes.
a script that you've already talked about in previous sessions, not writing as if you're the director and really being, you know, succinct and not describing action. We've heard these in other presentations
yes.
as well. So, and you want to leave room for the actors to act and the directors to direct.
Yes.
When you're writing that script and you have in your mind's eye how that action is going to occur, where's that happy medium
yeah.
where you don't lose
it's so fun. About? It's so funny. That's coming up over and over, the happy medium. Remember the other guy was talking about that too? What Bill was talking about is, I talked about in the other workshop, the economy of words and how we describe, and we have action, we have dialogue, and we have setting. And so, this little painter I just told you about, do you do a little paragraph on that in your screenplay? No. It's a couple of lines. Fade in, exterior, day, courtyard, Frank paints angrily thinking about Jennifer's night with Bill. No, okay. Something, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't, and I just made that up. But he paints angrily, and then you go, well, why? Why? Well, about her night with Bill. Well, why? Why is he angry about her night with Bill? Well, stay around and find out. That's what we were talking about before. You can't go, the sun sleepily cracks over the hills, you know, exterior day, courtyard day, the sun sleepily over the hills. Frank uses an oil magenta number 14 very sloppily. And he spills it against his brown shoe and corduroy pants as Jennifer flips through the Sunday Times. I mean, all that sounds great, but in a screenplay, the dog won't hunt. The writer's going to go, oh, all well and good, but what do I do? I want to play too. Just give me a little bit and I'll fill in the rest. I just need to know that they're jealous and they're having a fight, kind of a thing. It's okay. I said physicality, right? I am a little senile, so I'm sorry about that. It's okay to play the opposite, too. So sometimes when you're having trouble in an improv, and an improv is a euphemism for a page or scene, a chapter, play the opposite. How many times have you seen those situations where the physicality and the dialogue lie? So it goes, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. I can say that. I'm going to beat the crap out of you. You just better watch it. Oh boy, you're done now. I'm going to really do you. So the physicality, you play the opposite. Or you can do it the other way. You go, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. Just do it nice. When we used to do NYPD Blue, one of the things, when I was in a hurry, I always wrote good cop, bad cop. And it's like so easy, it's, you know, I feel bad about taking the money. But, so it's like one cop, Dennis Franz or somebody's always the guy like, you're in, man, you're going to the tombs, and then he's the good cop, bang, you know, my partner, here, have a Coke. You know, we're all going for the same thing, it's just a different way, so you play the opposite. So that's a good way to go. So if you get in an improv and your improv is breaking up with your girlfriend, go. You don't have to be, well, I'm leaving you. It could be, hi, honey. Sorry I'm late. Oh, let me tie my shoe. I'm breaking up with you. And whatever. And you're playing the shoe. It's kind of an acting exercise. But you're not breaking up. You know the way guys are. You ever hear that famous thing where the guy goes, well, don't you think the girlfriend says, don't you think we should be, you know, getting a little, we're going out 6 months now. Don't you think we should be, you know, be getting a little more serious? Wow, look at this shoe. And it becomes a scene about the shoe. You're writing about this guy tying a shoelace. But you know what the title of the scene is? Breaking up. Or trying not to go out, you know, make a commitment. So you play the opposite, and that'll help in an improv. I got a couple more that I'm going to do some. Be a good listener. I don't necessarily mean you're going to go, you know, but listen, if you're given something, well, that's actually my next thing, but be a good listener. If somebody says, you know, God, I'm sorry I was late, you know, the trolley or whatever. You know, yeah, I know what it's like taking an airplane. You know, it's like, you say, what's going on here? Be a good listener and listen to what your characters say. And we all know, we all have parents that we love dearly. And I know that my mom, when I see my mom and my dad, my mom just has to, like, say one word and I'm like 10 again. You know? Well. You know, and she'll say, like, something. And I go, hi, Mom, how are you doing? I'm okay. What are you doing? Waiting. What are you waiting for? To die? And, you know, why? How come you didn't call? Well, I called you yesterday. You know, like that. And that's what it's all about. So you can use those kinds of things by listening to the characters. And if you're in an improv, listen to what your partner or partners have to say. Accept what you are given, whatever the reality, accept it. So this is I'm really doing an acting class here now. We just sneaked over to the acting class. But it's okay, you guys are cool. So if she says, I say, she comes in and I'm sitting here and you walk into the improv and she goes, would you hit the 12th floor for me, please? So where are we? And then I turn around and say, what are you talking about? We're at a bus stop. That means I'm not accepting her reality, you know? Or if she comes in and says, you know what, I'm tired of you, you know, leaving your socks on the floor, and you know what, we're done. I'm leaving you. I'm going back home. And I go, excuse me?
Who are you?
Is that paper or plastic? Now, she'd have, I'm not saying you're not going to get that once in a while, and the creativity in that is her going, yeah, all right, you know, sure, and then she brings it back. But you've got the whole idea about improvisation, and even in writing, for that matter, it's a give-and-take thing. And you guys know if you're writing characters, you have no idea sometimes what comes out of these characters' mouths. Right? And you go, oh, my God. And now you've got to react to that. You can't, or maybe you don't. Maybe you choose not to listen. That's okay, too, if it's a denial thing. That's all right. But what I'm saying is you heard it, though, as opposed to not. Where you have people talking. Do you have any, mostly relatives are guilty of this, where you can be in a room talking and nobody listens to anything you say. Is that true? Is that a true thing? All right, let me go a step further. We are all people who look at the world, and our characters are the same way, through our five senses, right? And you may be writing characters with six, you know, dead people and whatever. But I'm saying five senses. we are not all endowed equally with those senses. So that's, think about this for a character. If you're ever in a hot spot for a character, and you're saying, this character is not working, it just seems like a grocery store shelf character. Think about what is the strongest sense that your character perceives the world. Are they a listener? Are they a toucher, feeler, smeller, visual? Like that. So you'll hear two people in a scene and they'll say, the girl will say to the guy, you know, you never show me you love me. And the guy will look at us, what are you talking about? I washed your car at night. You know, that's visual. Or the girl may say, or the guy may say, the girl says to the guy, you know, I love you. I love you. Don't tell me, show me. That's the other thing. They want to be able to experience that experience. So how does your character experience the world? Utilize that sensory awareness, and you put them in an improv. If we have time, we'll do this. I'll say, you know, Janet, you're in there, and you're a dentist, and you're buying a car. I don't know. I just made that up. And you're totally visual. And you're a salesman, and you're audio. And so she's talking, and he's not listening. You know, so on and so forth. And it gives you stuff then to work with. You know, and if you think about some of the great detectives, the detective novels, you know, Sherlock Holmes, his whole thing was observation through the senses. You know, he happened to use all of them because he was Sherlock Holmes, but you can use them. Accept what you're given. Create a character that reacts to the world around them intellectually, physically, and emotionally. Let's do that. So what you have... I'm okay. What time do we have to? Yeah, we're good. We're good. There are three things that you can go through in your writing. And when somebody says, what's your character about? What's your screenplay about? What's your novel about? Think of any character you have right now and anything you're writing. And think about these things about your character. There's a couple of divisions I'm going to give you. But let me give you these three first, and then I'm going to give you three that are more on the surface level. Intellectually. How does your character think about the world around them? Are they Republican? Are they a Democrat? Are they conservative? Are they those kinds of intellectual decisions that people have about themselves? What kind of character is that? And what they think about various issues? Do they believe in UFOs? I mean, you don't have to use that one, but you know what I'm saying. What kind of, that tells you who they are. The second is emotional. How do they feel about the world around them? Now, there are people, there was this lady I knew. I can say this, right, because I'm not mentioning names, right? I'm okay. There's a lady I knew who met a guy on the internet, okay? And he was the greatest guy. He was really nice. He was just an emotional train wreck. And what I mean by that is, he was great intellectually, he was really funny and everything. And any time they got close, he had a very difficult time. You couldn't even say good job or thank you. Any kind of emotion, he would just like lock down. Beep, beep, does not compute. And he was afraid to commit himself emotionally on any level. He was great intellectually, physically, we're going to get to in a minute. So that was his little Achilles heel that he couldn't feel. He would never get close to anybody. And he had a real big problem. So he bottled up getting, he would never get mad, he would never get happy, he would never get anything. Because he was afraid. So there you go. That's an emotional kind of thing. Or some characters are very emotional, where they cry, you know, the sun comes up, oh my God, the sun, you know, and they're going crazy. So where does your character feel in all of that? There's a wonderful play, I think it's Neil Simon, called Barefoot in the Park. Have any of you ever read it? That's the whole thing. The husband's intellectual, she's emotional. How come you don't want to go through the park with your shoes off? Well, I can't do that. I'm a lawyer or whatever he is, and you don't do that. And it's that whole thing. And the last one is physicality. How does your character react to the space around them and to other characters physically? Okay? So we're in New York. I always love this about New York, and I won't touch you, so don't worry. But here it is. We're this far apart. And we're slightly touching, and it's perfectly acceptable on the subway. Now you're at Rite Aid, and I was at Rite Aid one time in Studio City, and there was this guy online, and you know, the checker's like, you know, that fast. So the guy's behind me, you hear him going. And he's right up against my butt. You know, and you feel him kind of like breathing on your back. And I say, hey, buddy, don't touch my butt. Do not rub against my butt. You know, and you're not going to get the line any faster by, you know, doing this, you know. And so we are responding to each other. How does your character work in a physical environment? If it's a detective, if it's a painter, if it's a writer, whoever your character is, how do they respond in that environment? Where are the places that are their comfort zone? And so improvisation can show us that. In your particular books or your screenplays, do your characters have places where they're the most powerful? Like Italian moms, it's the kitchen. All right? When I was a young Italian child, I can't cook, okay? I mean, I can't. I can't. I mean, I can make like a ham sandwich or something. Because that was my mother's zone. And when you went in there, you tried to touch something. No. Whatever, you're hungry, I'll feed you. And so I became a food retard. I couldn't do anything. I was emotionally challenged in that area because that's her zone. Okay, so where is your character's zone and physicality, and where are they strong and where are they bad? All right, I told you that. Now the other thing that's important, and you don't have to do this in your improvs, but think about it in your work. And we really should have talked about the first 10 pages too. Is when we see a character in a improv, the who thing that I'm talking about, the who, what, when, and where, what is the subset of that? What does the who mean? Obviously, we could be, you know, simplistic. Well, it's, you know, who they are. Yeah. But did you ever think about you're now at a bar or at dinner, and you go, hey, hi, I'm Frank, and you're Jennifer. How do you do? And before you know it, you're getting around to, oh, so what do you do? And don't you always get to that? Right? Right? Don't you get to it?
Menu.
All right. It is? I'm just terrible at that. So what do you do? And so she's, well, I'm a writer, I'm an actress, I'm doing this, well, I do this, you know, I'm unemployed, I say whatever. And you do all of that stuff. And so that's, you want to get to that, but let's divide it up into three P's. And the first one is professional. And the professional, and you could use this in your improvs, you could use it in your scripts. This is what the character does. They're an FBI agent. They're a private eye, CIA, senator, teacher, mom, CIA agent by night, insurance salesman by day, all of that stuff. So that's the professional. Then there's what I call the personal. And the personal is what we don't always talk about it. But it's the attachment. What's your personal attachment? Married, single, divorced, boyfriend, girlfriend. Am I leaving any out? Going out with five different people? I don't know. But whatever your attachment is, and somewhere in your conversation, we don't need to know. If you're writing a detective story, do we need to know? You know, the guy goes, all right, what do you got here? He says, oh, this is Bert. Looks like a B&E went wrong. Okay. So what is, well, it looks like he tried to stop him and he shot him. Really, you know, I'm single. And I'm, you know, it doesn't sound right. But at some point, if that detective investigating that crime goes home to a hot plate and is all by themselves and gets a gun or something or whatever, it gives that thing about your character. So if you thought about, like, speaking of that example, Lethal Weapon, the character that Mel Gibson played, was that single, but he was single and lost. He lost his family due to a violent act, and he wanted to kill himself because of that. And that filtered how he responded in the environment that they put him in, why he did all those crazy things, jumping off roofs and all that other stuff. So we got professional, we have personal, and then the last one is the most difficult one, but perhaps the most interesting, is that, and we'll call it private, for lack of a better term. And private simply means it's that thing, that secret about that person or character that no one knows except them. It's not that I'm a CIA agent at night. That's different. This is secret. I'm a CIA agent, but my private thing is I'm a coward. And I killed three people because of my cowardness, by me running away, you know, whatever, those kinds of things. The things you don't talk about. All right? I saw a play one time, which I thought was a really good play, and on its surface, it was like, this guy wrote this thing, it was kind of a reading, and it was about these two men that were gay, living in some place in the Midwest, with families, who live next door to each other, but and were on the internet or phone thing looking for friendship. Not, you know, it wasn't a porno thing or anything. You know, it was friendship. And they were so wound in that they didn't even know they were next to each other. They talked to each other every day, taking the garbage pails out, and didn't even know that they were talking to each other on the internet. It was kind of an interesting story, you know, for what it was. So that's private. So that is your who, and that's what you would want. In an improvisation, you would not necessarily want to do all of that in an improvisation. And last but not least, then we'll do some exercise here, is have fun doing it. Find the joy, even if it's, remember this, we kind of diss comedy for a minute, saying you can't be funny. But remember, even if you're in your situation is a comic, the actual characters that are involved in that comic scene, it may not be funny to them. So they're in a character, you know, they're lost, and they lost the car key. You know, that wonderful play Neil Simon did, Prisoner on Second Avenue. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It was The Out-of-Towners was the movie. They did two versions of it. They're robbed, mugged, and, you know, we're laughing our butts off, you know. Well, where's the Chivas Regal? And they stole it. They stole the Chivas Regal, and so on. They took my suits, and they're like this, and we're laughing at every single line, like, how could this be? But to those characters in that frame of reality, it was serious. They were just being beaten down to nothing in this crazy town called New York, that kind of a thing. So you have fun with it, and you explore with it. So let's try some. What do you say? What I'd like to do, if I may, are we allowed to mess this room up a little bit? I just want to move the seats out this way, and we're going to make a circle. And I'm not going to ask you to be a piece of bacon, so don't worry. I'll actually help. And right about now, you're probably saying, why did I sign up for this? I could have been in the agent seminar. Okay, yeah, that's good. So just so we get a nice kind of round, I'm a Virgo, it has to be round, otherwise I'll be upset. You say, who is this guy? All right, that's good. No. All right, let's make a circle. Does anybody have a problem standing for a few minutes? Dude, I gotta stand? That's it. I'm out of here. That's okay. Yeah, if you want. Well, let's make a nice perfect circle. Nobody wants to stay next to me? All right. This is as close as we get as the bacon thing. We're just going to do it like once, and then we'll forget about it, okay? And let me tell you what. Don't you hate when somebody asks you to do something you don't know why? So I'm going to tell you why ahead of time. And here it is. This is about the accepting thing, that no matter what you get, because we're going to do tag scenes. Have any of you ever done tags? Have you ever done tag scenes? Okay, good. I will depend on you. That we have to accept what we get. And what's going to happen is some of us, let's just go a little wider. Yeah, that's perfect. Some of us are going to go, oh man, I got this great idea. And then you're going to go freeze. And by the time you freeze that person out, they're going to be somewhere else and you can't use your idea. And this is to show you that you don't have to think. We don't need to think about a thing. Here it is. This is real quick and easy, and then we'll get... We don't even have to do any dialogue with this. This is, you know, a pen. What I'm going to ask you to do, and I'll go this way. The hardest one is going to be on you. But it's okay. And you're going to make something out of this. And go, oh, God, this is terrible. But, you know, let's say, and it doesn't, and here we don't have to be literal in the sense that, well, obviously it's a pen and you can make a telescope out of it, a guitar. But it could also be a piece of something much larger. You know, or... See? So you don't have to be literal with this. It doesn't have to be this. It could be just a piece. So what we're going to do is I'm going to use it, and I'm going to pass it to you, and here's the acceptance part. You're going to take what I create, and if you don't understand it, send it back. I don't understand what it is. You're going to use it. You could use it like I did or in a different way. Like, so let's say I'm going to be easy because I'm the teacher. I'm going to look, and it's a telescope. I'm going to give it to you. You could use it. You're going to use it that way and then make something else. That's your total own. And what the thing is, whatever we make, once it's made, no duplicates. Hoo-hoo. So if she's going, oh, I got it, man, I'm going to do like a bow, he'll do a bow and you'll be, you know, so you got to just let it happen. So we're going to just go around one time and then we're going to put the pen away, so don't worry. Should I start? And you can do sound effects if you want, ho ho, you know, like that, whatever, if you like it.
Oh.
Actor, I can tell. Remember, all right, you got to use her. You got to use her thing first. And you don't have to use it in the same exact way, and then make it into something else. Okay. Good.
Oh bloody hell! I can't play this thing.
Oh, we got actors here today.
Will you please open your mouth? Please say ah. Ah. A little lighter.
Ah.
Louder.
Ah.
Louder.
Ah.
Okay.
There's a perfect example of an extension. So he's using it to be something else. That's great.
Huh. Oh, it's okay. It's the handle.
That was a nice evolution, which is going to be our next thing. He didn't just flip it. He literally grew it out of it, which was good. It's really nice. Okay. Now, one more time around, and then we actually get to talk. Bounce a ball for me, just kind of like that, and pass it to me. So now I got a bouncing ball from her, and you're probably thinking, why am I in this place, right? And this is the same thing about accepting, but I want you to think in terms of a different thing, and you tapped on it, which was great, is sometimes when you get an improvisational thing or in your writing, you get one thing, but it automatically doesn't become something else. So if she gives me a ball, then I don't make it into a bow and arrow. Sometimes it evolves. You know how like you're into something and you think it's one thing and then it becomes another? And it could be a scene with your characters too. They think they're going into one thing and it suddenly becomes another thing. So one more time, if you don't mind. So she passes me a ball, and I'm talking. What I want you to do is totally free yourself, and even you know you're writers, and I'm just using this physicality of the bouncing ball as a symbol of a physical exercise, and it's really becoming something else now. I don't know what it is because I'm talking to you, and I'm Italian. I can't do two things at one time, so I'm kind of doing this, and it's coming into this thing, and I'm using it. And I don't really know what I'm going to make it. You see, so it's okay to not know what you are doing because you're allowing it to happen, and you're kind of just letting it go. And you just let it go and let it become something. I had no idea I was going to be flying a kite today. And you let it go. So what did I do? I started out with a bouncing ball and it became that. So we don't have to get crazy with this. The only reason we're doing this is just to explore the transitional thing, and then we're going to come inside and do some tag scenes. So we're going to start this way and end with you now.
Okay.
Does it have to be a ball, or you have to change it?
No, I'm starting with a ball. You can make it whatever you want.
I think we're out of time.
We are?
Yeah.
It ends at 20?
Yeah.
I thought it ended at 30.
No,
it started
at 30.
Oh, darn. Okay. Do I have your emails? Email me if you have any questions. I'll email you with my email address. I have some other stuff I was going to do. I'll be glad to send it to you. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Yeah. If you can, help me put chairs back. I'd appreciate that.